Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Conservative Mama Podcast. I'm your host, Sarah B., and this is the podcast that is fighting back against liberal lunacy, the lies of feminism, and, of course, the destruction of the progressive left as we refocus ourselves on those F-bombs that truly matter: faith, family, friendship, and now more than ever, freedom. Today is September 20th. It is currently thundering outside, so I love it. I know it is Tuesday. It's supposed to have been Monday, but honestly, yesterday was kind of a long day for me. I don't know about you guys. You guys know how it is sometimes. But we had back-to-back soccer games because, of course, my daughter is in sixth grade, so she's playing both varsity and junior varsity since there weren't enough players who signed up on either team. So it is really ridiculous. So by the time we got done with soccer last night, I really just needed to sit and chill. So I sat with my mom and we watched that show Ghosts. I've already seen all the episodes, but we're rewatching it on Pluto TV, and it's been a blast. It's been a lot of fun to sit there with her and just kind of kick our feet up and have a moment to relax. And before we jump into any news, I want to just open up to you guys. I don't know if you all are maybe feeling the same way. Mamas, raise your hand out there if you are really stressed out right now. I know Mercury is in retrograde, whatever the hell that means. I guess there is some confusion with communications. It makes life difficult that way. It makes life difficult on your software. I don't know. All I know is that I have been so stressed out and so frustrated. I've actually turned into a momster. And I want to just kind of open up about that because I know the importance of self-care, of making sure you take time to, you know, breathe, inhale, take some time to yourself, you know, have a hot bath or whatever. And while I know all of this, I am terrible about acting on it. And so I want to know. I don't think I'm alone out here with that issue, right? Like, we're never alone, right? But it can feel very isolating. It definitely feels like the world is on my shoulders a lot of the time. My workload is extremely stressful. It's extremely heavy. We definitely need bodies. And they've been very slow to post for these positions. Etc. I'm honestly thinking about applying to a different department within the company. And so all of that is, it adds to stress. Never mind just the workload in general and the crushing timelines. And, you know, like, I'm pretty sure that's part of the reason I'm getting gray hairs. This is ridiculous. Could not possibly be age. So I don't want to talk about that. But, you know, with the stress of just my job, let's just take that into consideration for just a moment. The influx of emails and putting out fires and never really getting ahead on any of the tasks because you're always working backwards. You're always trying to, you know, fix what's broken right now. But it's always knee jerk, but you're never able to get to the point where you are being progressive, right? Like, it's all just knee-jerk fires being put out, just to make it through the day, right? And that's not healthy. This has been going on for a very long time, very long time. And it's been exacerbated since my boss and I have taken on more sites. We are a global company, and we have taken on more global responsibilities, and it's just the two of us. So lots more responsibilities, lot bigger workload, still the same two people. Very, very frustrating. And so that heightened sense of stress, obviously, you know, truthfully, if I don't get things done, there's no one coming along behind me to do them, right? My boss has his own thing that he's doing. He, you know, we're working, we're trying to put out each other's fires while at the same time tackling our own, because it's sort of a divide and conquer. It's not taking on more workload for either one of us. It's really just divide and conquer. So all of that stress, all of this knowing that if I don't get these things completed, no one is coming along behind me. They just keep piling up. That adds up. That takes its toll. My anxiety is through the roof. I am frequently snappish. I have a very hard time letting anything go. And so it carries over into real life then, right? Like not work life. You know, I have a very hard time letting things go. I become snappish. My husband can attest that I will become terrible very quickly. And so I kind of sat back here the other day and, you know, I thought to myself, why do I take on everything, you know, coaching, home and school? I mean, at home and school, this last meeting, here I am sitting there thinking, is there asking for volunteers? They're asking the parents for volunteers, right? And like, we all know how that goes. Everybody has ideas and they have input, but nobody really wants to volunteer to pick up the guide on and carry the flag, right? Like nobody really wants to do it. So those things don't come to fruition if no one volunteers. And while I'm sitting in the room, there was actually a really good turnout of parents. And while I'm sitting in the room, I'm sitting there thinking, you know, no one is volunteering. Oh my gosh, no one is volunteering. No one is raising their hand. No one is stepping up to the challenge and saying, yes, I will do it. Maybe I should do it. I want the kids to be able to do this. Maybe I should do it. And then in the back of my mind, my intuition goes, no, no. My angel, my spirit guide, whatever you want to call it, is going, no, Bish, you cannot volunteer for one more thing. You are already working an extreme amount as it is. Like, you can't volunteer for one more thing. Your family will probably kill you. And justifiably so, because you are terrible. And so I sat back and I thought, you know, why am I taking all this on? You know, when it comes to your job, you are required to do certain things. You know, you understand. It comes with the territory, right? But for those things that are extra, why do I feel I need to do it? And maybe that's a question we all need to ask ourselves individually. If you find yourself in the same situation, ask yourself that. Because what happens if we don't do it? Okay, at worst, the kids, for example, they don't get to have a skate night or something if nobody volunteers to call the place and they don't, you know, set it up and whatever, then the kids don't get it, right? Are the kids worse off for that? Is there anything that stops you from taking your own kids or, you know, your child and some of their friends to a skate night or whatever the function is? You know, maybe it's not for school. Maybe it's just you guys go and have fun. Is that so difficult? I mean, is that out of the cards for you? I mean, it's a lot less stress, right? Hey, grab a friend. We're going to go roller skating. It's going to be a blast, right? Versus I have to put on an event for the school so that everybody can come and have a good time. Those children are not my responsibility. My child is my responsibility. And what is she going to grow up into being? Who is she going to emulate if I am a momster and I cannot keep the cuss words out of my mouth and I keep losing my temper over ridiculous foolishness? What kind of person is she going to grow up to be? And will I be shocked when I see that person emerge? Is that what I want for her? So why do I think I need to take on all of these tasks? And am I doing somebody else the disservice if I just jump to the conclusion, oh, well, look, nobody was volunteering fast enough. Nobody was saying anything. Maybe they don't want to volunteer in front of the group. Maybe they want to come up afterwards or send an email afterwards and say, hey, look, I'll do it, right? They don't want to raise their hand in front of the group. But maybe I'm doing them a disservice if I don't give them the opportunity. So all of these things I've kind of been sitting here thinking about, you know, when you look at it, my mom had said something today about, you know, 100 years from now, will this have been worth it? Will the fight with your husband have been worth it? Will the argument with your daughter have been worth it? Will this constant stressing out about work have been worth it? You know, and I thought, you know, that's a pretty good point because I don't plan to be here 100 years from now. Will it have been worth it? Will the cost of my sanity, my health, my relationship with my loved ones, will it have been worth damaging or destroying? I mean, 100 years from now, I won't be here. My daughter will probably, my daughter will not be here, right? But her progeny will, in theory, right? They will be here. And will we have passed on? She will treat her children the way she saw me treat her or felt I treated her. And the cycle perpetuates. Is it worth it? You know, you look around and you think, you know, we're on this little planet in this giant galaxy of, you know, stars and planets and who knows what in this amazingness, right? But we're on this planet for what reason? To pay taxes and to work ourselves into oblivion and to hit an early grave with crushing anxiety and social, you know, media? Or is there something more, right? And so I've had to take a step back and I thought last night, I was like, gosh, I've got to do the podcast. And immediately I thought, you know, of all these other things that I have to do. And I thought, you know what? No, my listeners will understand and I'm going to come clean with them. I'm going to take some time and I'm going to come clean with them and just say, you know, sometimes I just need some me time. Sometimes, you know, you got to take a break. You've got to take a break from listening to social media and indulging in it. You've got to take a break from listening to the news. You've got to take a break from everything. And however you get your me time, that's how you get it. And don't get me wrong. I love doing the podcast. I love it. I've got a break right now going for the other podcast. We are, it's too busy right now. But, you know, that's the thing. Like, I love creating content in this way. But sometimes you have to take a breather for yourself. And I wonder how many of you other moms are out there and dads, I've got dads who listen too, but I wonder how many of you are out there feeling this crush of pressure from work or non-work. If you're out of work, right? Or if you're not working, this crush of price increases, this crush of, you know, constant bad news, right? This crush of feeling like everything is spiraling out of control. I wonder how many of you are sitting there going, oh my goodness, I can't take it anymore. I need to step back. How many times do we ask ourselves, like, why am I doing it? Why am I indulging in all of the bad news? Why am I indulging on social media if it doesn't make me feel good or make me laugh? Or, you know, if I come away from Facebook, for instance, feeling worse about myself or my situation, why do I keep going back? You know, why do we ask ourselves the honest questions? Are we presenting our best self to the people who need our best self the most, our families, our loved ones? It doesn't really matter at the end of the day how great of an employee you were as far as likability, right? Oh, she was so likable. We all liked her. Great. That's wonderful. You obviously, you want to do a good job and you want to be likable, right? But if you go home or if you're working from home, like in my case, and all your family sees is the worst of you, then I think, you know, we have to reevaluate. And that's kind of what I've been doing. So I wanted to like, you know, kind of let you guys know that, hey, I might have this little podcast here and I love that you guys listen. So thank you so much. But I am a human being on the other side of this recording. I'm a human person and I go through shit just like you guys do. I go through it just like you. I get stressed. I get overwhelmed. I sometimes just want to break down and cry and go, you know, what kind of world are my children growing up into? Why do I have all this work? Why can people not find what they're looking for in the software system that we all have access to? I don't understand. Just look it up, damn it. You know, all of these little things. And, you know, we're just out here being people. We're just out here being people. So, you know, I wanted to come clean and just tell you guys that, like, give you kind of a little window into my life and how sometimes it is beyond crazy. Lord have mercy. But, okay, I know that went on for a pretty long time and I apologize. Hopefully that, you know, didn't cause you guys to roll your eyes too much. Oh, she's being a baby. Yeah. I know. Okay, so let's jump in really quick while we still have some time. This is alarming. Over on Fox News, you can check this out. It says, White House ridiculed after walking back Biden's statement that pandemic is over. Quote, he is not in charge, end quote. Of course, Ted Cruz mocks Biden like clockwork. Biden's handlers are out in force. It's extremely alarming because this keeps happening. Have you guys noticed this? This keeps happening. Biden will say something like, yes, U.S. troops will be used to defend Taiwan. And then the White House comes out and says, no, they won't. That is not what he meant. That is what he said. That is literally what he said. That is on 60 Minutes. That is literally what he said. He said, yes, we would defend Taiwan. And now you're saying he didn't say that, but we all heard him say that. It's out there. The internet is forever. You can listen to the soundbite. And they're like, nuh-uh. What? So it's extremely alarming because who the hell is running this guy? We know he's got handlers. We've talked about this in the past. He's like, oh, I'm not supposed to ask that. Who? You're the president, allegedly. You are the illicit president of the United States of America. You were selected, not elected, because I have a really tough time believing that 80 million voters came out of the woodwork to vote for this bumbling, pants-crapping, in front of the Pope doofus. And you can't get tens of people to show up to your rally. Tens of people. Not tens of thousands, not hundreds of. Trump has so many people that they fill the stadium, and then there are still hundreds and hundreds of people outside that are just waiting because they just want to hear him speak. They just want to be present in the moment. That is not the same caliber of turnout. All right, the tens of people that won't even fill a high school gymnasium, a middle school gymnasium. That's how many people show up for Biden. Like, I think 3/4 of the people there were just pulled in because they were standing on the street. They just found them on route to wherever he's going. Make sure you clap. Okay, here's $50 for your troubles. I mean, it's crazy. It's totally crazy. So anyway, the article goes on. It says, Twitter users expressed confusion and outright mockery after the White House walked back President Biden's assertion that the COVID-19 pandemic is over. Newsflash, White House, it's over. It's over. Everyone on the planet is sick of it. We are done sick of it. No one cares anymore. Take your boosters and shove them up your behind because literally everyone is sick of it. Biden made his remarks during his interview on CBS 60 Minutes on Sunday, his first interview with an American TV journalist in over 200 days. Wonder why that is. When he asked about the state of the U.S. fight against the pandemic, Biden told CBS correspondent Scott Pelley, the pandemic is over. We still have a problem with COVID. We're still doing a lot of work on it. But the pandemic is over. Yeah, it never was. The pandemic is over because it never was. It was all fallacy. It was all bull. It was all crap. In fact, if you turned off your TV, if you lived for the last 2 years without any type of social media, television, whatever, you didn't know that there was a pandemic. I promise you that, ladies and gentlemen. I would put my next paycheck on that one. If you lived in such a way that you had no access, you did not turn on a TV, you did not read a newspaper, you did not pick up a piece of social media anywhere on any device, you didn't know there was a pandemic. You didn't know it. It's because it was fake. But according to CNN, an administration official told the outlet that the president's comments do not mark a change in policy toward the administration's handling of the virus, and there are no plans to lift the public health emergency. That's weird. Why would that be? The current emergency status, which had been announced in January 2020, is still extended through October 13th. However, the fact that the White House had to clarify and essentially walk back the president's claims about the state of the pandemic drew scathing criticism from Biden administration critics, who insisted that this tension between Biden and his staffers may be another hint they do this job for him. Yes, you think? He's not in charge, tweeted The Spectator contributing editor Stephen Miller, who also shared an image of the CNN headline that read, White House says COVID-19 policy unchanged despite Biden's comments that the pandemic is over. In subsequent tweets, Miller added, it wasn't a gaffe. It wasn't a slip. He said it pretty definitely twice. In the same interview, he dared anyone who questioned his mental fitness. Here's the example right here. Biden reportedly complains that he looks weak. This is why his own administration undercuts him every time he opens his mouth, he wrote, and then asked, is he in charge or not? That is the question everybody was asking and asking still. Republican communications figure Matt Whitlock remarked, fascinating that the White House walked back Biden's comments on Taiwan and COVID, but decided to let his comments that historic inflation is no big deal stand. Yeah, isn't that weird? Isn't that weird? Like, they walk back Taiwan and COVID, but they're like, I don't know, inflation's great. Really? It's like Kamala Harris with the border being secure. Hey, Kamala, I heard migrants were showing up at your doorstep. That's weird, right? The border's secure, and yet you're kind of having a fit, aren't you? More on that. Okay, like clockwork, Biden's handlers are out in force, commented Senator Ted Cruz. Claremont Institute Communications Director Nick Short asked what is in response to the notion that Biden isn't in charge of his own administration. Hint, it will never be over. They gained too much from lockdowns, mandates, and wealth transfer. They permanently reorganized the country over a virus. You think they would give that up voluntarily? It's not going away, tweeted conservative commenter Logan Hall. Absolutely. We are never going back to normal. You know this because we have talked about it on this podcast for 2 years now. We're going on 2 years. Can you believe it? We have talked about this. It's never going away. They have given up nothing. They've taken everything. We have given up everything. They're not going to give that up. They're not going to concede power back to us. No, we're going to have to fight for that. Radio host Derek Hunter mocked Biden, writing, didn't Joe say something about just watch him when he asked whether or not he has the mental abilities to be president? One interview, at least two walkbacks by staff so far. Hashtag watch me. Yeah, you know, that's the other thing too. Like Dan Bongino had said when Joe Biden's like, watch me. We are watching you. You allegedly crapped your pants in front of the Pope. You slip and trip upstairs going to Air Force One. You get lost going back to the White House. You don't know where to go from the podium. You shake hands with air. You turn around and stare at the flag like you've never seen it before. And you bite your wife in the finger. Literally, what the hell is going on? We are watching. We are watching the mental decline of an old man who has nothing to show for his time in office except being an overwhelming racist and some terrible bills like taxing the Social Security income of seniors and throwing, especially targeting Black Americans for crimes and throwing them in jail for long periods of time. We also know that Joe Biden is the big guy. He's tied to China in such a way that the FBI really should be investigating that, but they can't be bothered. Hunter Biden is totally compromised. He has not one, but however many laptops at this point. I don't think there's a crime out there that Hunter Biden hasn't filmed. And yet the FBI can't be bothered with that either. And they told Facebook, make sure that you don't let that information spread around because it's Russian disinformation, in which Facebook didn't even ask any questions. They were like, all right. And so single-handedly changed the outcome of an American election. We've got to ask,
FBI, how many times have you done that? Because you did it with no hesitation. You're totally compromised. So yeah, Joe Biden, when you say watch me, we are watching you. We're watching you. We're watching your FBI. We're watching your DOJ. And what we see is a Gestapo being sicked on your political opponents. You are scared to death that Trump is going to run in 2024. You are scared to death. And the Democrats are too, because y'all don't have a platform. This is why you are doing everything you can right now. Why you desperately want to throw Trump in jail. You want to illegitimize his run for president now. And who's next? It'll be Ron DeSantis next. My God, could you imagine if Ron DeSantis decided to make a run for president after Trump? Can you imagine? Holy crap, they'll do the same thing to him. The gloves are off. This is what they're doing. And the Republicans sit back and they let it happen because they're afraid of a street fight. We're in a street fight now. Why are you not fighting back with their own rhetoric? Hey, this is what you said. And yet the only person who's asking questions is Peter Ducey. Everybody else. What is everybody else in that freaking press conference sitting there with Saint-Jean-Pierre or whatever the hell her name is? Peppermint Patty Part 2, the dumber version. What is everybody else doing? You're just sitting there like goobers. Your shell tooth sticking out. If you don't know what a shell tooth is, look it up. Reptiles and birds have it. It's how they get out of their shell. That's why they call it a shell tooth. It's a little tooth. Anyway, look it up. But you're just sitting there? What are you doing? What questions are you asking? Do none of you care? This is my question for the media. Do none of you give a flying shit about what kind of country this will be 8 years from now? I'm not going to say 30 years from now because it's going to be a lot sooner than that. 4 years from now, do none of you have the wherewithal to ask real questions, to hammer anybody? You're not supposed to be partisan. I don't know if you guys are aware of this. You're not supposed to be partisan. CNN, that might come as a shock to you. This is why you have absolutely the lowest ratings. And even some airports don't want to play you anymore because you're that bad. You have to buy your way into these places because honestly, no one wants to be held hostage to your propaganda. Everybody knows it for what it is. You're garbage. You're garbage. But they're not the only ones. Does nobody give a crap? We've got some GOP congressmen and senators who are fighting back. But the fact that that so many of them are not clapping back, like Ron DeSantis. You know what? Governors, Republican governors across the United States, how do you not look at the popularity of Ron DeSantis? How do you not look at the stones that that man possesses and go, you know what? I'm going to jump on board with that. Me too. Holy crap. Do you not understand that your state would turn around and go, hell yes. Hell yes. Do you not understand? Do you not have your finger on the pulse of this nation? Do you not see the seething anger and rage in your constituents? And I'm not talking about violence. We are not those people. They keep talking about it. Merrick Garland keeps warning about violence, you know, President Trump and the DNC, they want to make, you know, Trump supporter, not President Trump, President Biden and the DNC, you know, they want to make Trump supporters and MAGA Republicans and patriots seem like they are extremists. Oh my gosh, January 6th. Really? How many feds were involved in January 6th? Because you had people in the audience going, fed, fed, fed. This shit is on video. And you're going to pretend that it didn't happen? We know it's you. No one boarded up a single building because they were scared of a Biden win. No one boarded up anything because they were afraid Biden would. Why? Why? Because they know that's not who we are. How many riots have occurred since they raided Mar-a-Lago? Can anybody count? How many? Not one. Not a single one. Not one. Not one riot. Isn't that weird? Is that weird? Interesting. They want to paint us into this light of who we're not. So my question is, media, where the hell are you? Journalism is absolutely dead, and yet you wonder why no one believes you. What kind of country do you want your own children to grow into? You think they're going to be safe? You are the useful idiot. When the jackboots come marching down the street, they will collect all of us, and you and your children will be in the same cattle car as the rest of us plebes that you look down your nose at, heading off to the gulag. We'll all be in those cattle cars. They're not. You think you're part of the elite? You're not part of the elite. They don't care about you. You're just a talking head, and you are so easily replaceable. Look it, no sooner are you gone than they've got the seat filled. Boom, just like that. They'll get whoever they have to say whatever they want. They don't need you. So knowing that, why don't you do the right thing? You freaking cowards. Same thing with the FBI. You know what's going on. Do you not give a crap about where this country is going? I'm just doing my job. Yeah, so were the doctors. So were the first aiders, if you will, in Nazi Germany. They were just doing their jobs too. The guards at the concentration camps, they were just doing their jobs. The train conductor, just doing his job. The people who ratted out people, just doing their jobs, just doing their part, right? And look at how history remembered them. Do you not care? Do you think your children will be safe? Because how soon before they turn on your children too? Your children say the wrong thing. Oh no. And now they take your children away. Or your grandchildren. Do you see? It's not hyperbole. This is the direction thing that these things go. Not because there is millions and millions of evil people working at this. It doesn't take millions and millions of evil people to hatch an evil plan and bring it to fruition. It just takes millions and millions of good people to sit there and do nothing. You're worthless. Our media is worthless. Our FBI is worthless. And if you're just one of those run-of-the-mill FBI agents, I wasn't part of that, leave. Grow some stones and leave. Sorry, it is what it is. Your entire institution is defunct. It's garbage. Leave. Leave while you still can and take your pride and go do something else. And do it well, to the best of your ability, with honor and conviction. This is ridiculous. I know I talked about the migrants, right? Showing up at Kamala Harris. The lying. No one calls these people out. Media, again, where are you? You piss me off so bad. This is why I had to start a podcast. You piss me off so bad because you won't say these questions. Holy crap, somebody get me a press tag so that I can go in there. I'll ask some questions. I don't care. You're not going to shut me down. You're not going to sit there, excuse me. I stand here as a citizen of the United States and I got some daggone questions. I've got a unelected vice president of the United States standing up there cackling away like this is the funniest joke she's ever heard. And then she gets on some one-on-one with a media source that no one gives a crap about. She says, our border is secure. Our border is secure. Really, really, 2 million migrants? Immigrants, illegal aliens, let's just call them what they are, illegal aliens. They're here illegally. That's not a migration. That's an invasion. And you guys have welcomed it. Why? Because you need to. You need to do this because you got to get your voting block back, right? And then you can say, oh, look, we need all this help. We shouldn't have a sovereign government. We should have the UN come in and take over. Look at that. That's not even my idea. I got that from somewhere else today. But it was a damn good one. I'm going to have to think on that. But she's sitting there. And she's like, no, our border is secure. Really? Really? So the folks that are sitting here telling you, hey, look, you need to welcome these people into your communities. Meanwhile, Texas is like, we can't do this. And Florida's like, we don't want to do this. And the communities, which, you know, in some of these small border town communities, they are very heavily Mexican and, you know, Guatemalan and whatever. They've come here legally. A lot of them have come here legally and they don't want the illegals. Why? Because it makes life harder for them, especially if you are a real immigrant and you have become an American citizen. You know how hard that was, and God love you. We are happy to have you. We are happy to have you. We have a place for you. Join us in the great American dream. But these people, they've done nothing. They just ran across at their own peril. They're smuggling children for sex trafficking. Our drugs are out of control. Fentanyl, out of control. People ODing left and right. That's Joe Biden. This is Joe Biden's America. And cackling Kamala sitting there. Isn't that funny? Well, then all of a sudden, migrants start showing up at her doorstep. I keep calling them migrants. Illegal aliens keep showing up at her doorstep. Now she's pissed. What's the matter, Kamala? I thought everyone was welcome here, right? That's weird. It's like Martha's Vineyard. I mean, talk about hypocrisy. How many homes are empty just because they're our summer home? We don't have the resources. My favorite part of those comments was this one. We're in a housing crisis here. We have a serious housing shortage. We can't do anything to help the migrants. You know, it's really hard for me to feel bad for any type of housing crisis on Martha's Vineyard. It really is. That's so funny though, right? We just have a shortage. That's weird because some site did some analytics and found out that there were plenty of hotels and Airbnbs right there. And yet none of those 50 migrants could stay. None of the 50. But how many of those homes have Black Lives Matter signs? And how many of those homes are, you know, love is love, no borders, people are people, blah, blah, blah. And all that other freaking virtue signaling bullshit. How many? I would love to know. Somebody want to walk around Martha's Vineyard and take pictures of that crap? And they're like, oh, good. I want them to have their best life. That was the second favorite comment. When the migrants were leaving, somebody was like, I just really want them to have their best life, to live their best life. But as they're heading off to the military base, right? They're like, I just want them to have the best life. Just not there though, right? You just don't want to have to look at them there, right? You don't want to see any brown people. That you're not, you know, getting to do something for you, like, I don't know, mow your lawn, clean your house, take care of your children, right? Like at a much lowered cost. Am I right? Right? Like you want them to live their best life, just not on Martha's Vineyard, right? Is that fair to say? Is that fair to say? Take your frickin' signs down. The hypocrisy. And, you know, I know Dan Bongino will be like, that's not hypocrisy. It's hierarchy. Yeah. What? Look, it's hypocrisy. Call him out on it. Don't give him that damn pass. Dan Bongino can say what he wants. He's got a huge platform, and I love the guy. Don't know him. He doesn't know me. Whatever. He can call it whatever he wants. But you know what? I'm going to call it hypocrisy because that's what it is, and I'm going to throw it right back in their face because they don't get to own the frickin' rhetoric, and we don't have to change it to suit them. Oh, it's hierarchy. They don't believe in it. I don't give a shit what they believe in. I do not care what they believe in. This is what it is. Lori Lightfoot out there, oh my gosh, we can't handle this. We shouldn't have to take all these bikes. Shut the F up. Shut up. You decided to have a sanctuary city. Remember that big double-barreled middle finger to everybody else? You decided we're going to be a sanctuary city here in Chicago. Then take your folks and enjoy. Handle it yourself. Handle it yourself. Why does everybody else in Illinois have to deal with this? We're not sanctuary cities. We're not sanctuary cities. We're not sanctuary towns. We didn't sign up for that. You did. Take them. Bust them right on back. Because it's not like they're going to get deported. It's not like they're going to get sent away. It's not like they're going to be arrested until they murder somebody. And then it's just catch and release, right? They're not going to do any of that. Lori Beetlejuice Lightfoot. Oh, we can't have all. This is ridiculous. Blah, 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 blah. No, what's ridiculous is your crime rate. Your murder rate. That's what's ridiculous. You know what's ridiculous? Your eyeballs and your haircut. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. Sitting there, virtue signaling. We love brown people. These illegal aliens. We don't want to call them that. We're going to call them migrants because it sounds better. Oh, God, we don't want them here, though. No. We're here to virtue signal, okay? I'm just here to get the photo op so that I look good. Please, somebody make sure you take pictures of me crying, looking at the migrants. I'm going to put my hands on my chest, and I'm going to make the face with my giant hat, Martha's Vineyard lady. I'm looking at you with your sunglasses and your blonde highlights. Look at you out here dressed to the nines. You're probably that entire outfit, shirt, sunglasses, hat. That's probably more expensive than anything I have on my body right now. But you're going to stand there and you're going to look at them. You're going to put your hands on your heart and make the face like, isn't that precious? Look at them getting back on the bus. They're leaving Martha's Vineyard. We're going to have this whole area to ourselves. The only brown people here will be the Obamas. Yay. Because they're racist. Because they don't care about people. They just want a virtue signal. Meanwhile, the rest of us are out here going, oh my God, you've got to be kidding me. How am I can't hardly pay for my family. Now I've got to pay for these folks that you're bussing in at night. My favorite part is the media calling it a stunt. Oh, Ron DeSantis and his stunt. So we're just going to look the other way that Biden flew illegal aliens into Florida in the middle of the night. Why would he have chosen the middle of the night? Why would he have chosen the middle of the night to send them anywhere in the nation? Because Florida wasn't the only place he sent them. Why on earth wouldn't he have done it in broad daylight during the main traffic hours? Why do you think that is? Would we call that a stunt? I think, you know, if we looked under the hood for review, yeah, that would be a stunt. That would be a frickin' stunt. But no, oh, Ron DeSantis and Greg Abbott. Piss off. So somebody, I need to get a press pass and get into that freaking White House. Because I swear to God, sit me next to Peter Ducey because I got worse questions than he does. It's like, so you call it a stunt. It's funny, though, that this is the actual. This is what happened. He's flying them in the middle of the night. Well, no. See, it's different. No. It's not different. Same guy. You guys are hypocrites. You're full of shit. And the entire nation knows it. There you go. Hey, I've been fired up, folks. See, they just pissed me off. And you should be pissed off, too. Hopefully that you are. And you're just not taking it anymore. Hopefully, you know, when you hear this coming out of people's mouths, you go, hold up. We're not going over this again. We want to know who Biden's handlers are. Is it China? Is it the Obamas? Is it some, you know, George Soros? Who the hell knows at this point? Could be Klaus Schwab for all we know. We don't know. We want to know who the handlers are. We have a vested interest in knowing, and we should know. We want to know why the hell our FBI is, you know, worthless. Get rid of them. We don't need you. You're enemies of the state at this point. We want to know why all the virtue signaling, lefties and libs, why all the virtue signaling, and you're not opening your doors. That's weird, real, right? Like, I'm supposed to just make sure that you take them into your home. Really? What are you doing? Oh, not my home. Not my home with the 12 bedrooms. Yes. It's my summer home on Martha's Vineyard, suggesting I've got more than one home. I can't have anybody I don't know stay there when I'm not there. Yes. Shut up. Stupid ass. Anyway, that's what's going on here today. I know we've gone over, so hopefully you guys will forgive me. We are kicking off the week. I know it's Tuesday, but, you know, the week will get better, I think. Hopefully. Fingers crossed, right? Hopefully you guys are marching towards fall. I think autumn, the first day of autumn here is what, Thursday? Something like that. Yay. It doesn't mean it's going to cool off. I know, but, the leaves are starting to turn here. So fall is coming. Anyway, as always, stay deplorable, patriots, love and God bless. And we will talk to you again on Funday Friday. Hang in there, guys.